Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, our Monday Manna Bible study. We're waiting on you to come on in.
Well, we hope and pray that you had a great day today as you've moved into October. This is the third day of October, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, October got in here right quick, and then we're getting ready to close out the year pretty soon. The season has changed, and we can feel the effects of it, and it won't be long now before we would have to start pulling out the coats and getting ready for a double wrapping of
a double layer
of clothing.
Yeah, we've already have to pull out the jackets in the morning because it's kind of cool.
Can you get loaded up there, Lady Kim?
Well,
let us know the sound is coming in. That was it right there. You keep going away from it. Let us know the sound is coming in clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together. And we praise God for what he is about to do during this time that we're going to study. We're in the second chapter of Song of Solomon. Songs of Songs as well can be called. And this is really, it's a little bit different path in terms of the study of this book because it's unique in and of itself. And this is probably the one and only book in the Bible that's really a love story in and of itself. And we see that being expressed here. A lot of imagery taking place, would you agree with
yes.
me? And but this is definitely a love story between King Solomon and his bride. And so it's a lot of good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to jump right in. But we hope and pray that each of you are doing well. And we're encouraged by your presence. And we thank God for his keeping power. And we thank God for continuing to sustain us in this season. And we're going to prepare now for a time of prayer. And then we'll give a brief review of our services on yesterday. And then we'll jump into the second chapter of Song of Solomon. I believe there are only 17 verses there. And mm-hmm. so we should be able to cover that tonight. Wouldn't you agree with me, Lady
Absolutely.
Kim?
Absolutely.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you. Thank you now for this day and thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we're nothing without you. So God, help us to seize the moment. Help us to do what's necessary in order to bring glory and honor to your name. Help us, oh God, not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so God, we thank you that there's going to be an increase that happens tonight as it relates to our faith. And we thank you, dear Lord, that this word is going to be a seed and fertile soil
yes.
unto our souls. And so we speak against any attack of the enemy.
Yes.
We bind the hand of the wicked one.
Yes.
And we claim victory in our situations and in our circumstances.
Yes.
And we thank you that you are our God. So now, God, let us your word be for us what it needs to be, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Even as we get into this study tonight, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Somebody give God a thumbs up
amen.
And somebody say amen. All right. Well, Lady Kim, powerful, 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 powerful. Three exclamation points there on that word yesterday. I tell you, that was, it was a powerful reminder for me about the insecurities that we all face in life. And if we but be honest with ourselves, even with you bringing out Saul's story, it really helped us to see that many, if not all of us, are hiding behind some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And much of that stuff has to do with our insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like that title that you use, as well as the scripture that you used. And I know from your theological schooling and training that you limited the title to less than 5 words. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that something you learned in school?
That's something I learned in school.
Okay, hiding. Go ahead.
They told us it shouldn't be any longer than 5 words, or people tend to get lost.
Okay. So. Well, you stayed within the boundaries, and if I would call your instructor and let her know that you're doing exactly what you've learned, hiding behind the baggage. Wow, that's powerful. So, Lady Kim, 1 Samuel, this 10th chapter, you really just kind of walked us through that yesterday, and you shared with us about some of the things that Saul was going through, even though he had already received assignment, even though he had been anointed and appointed, he still found himself in doubt and frustrated. He still found himself in a place of insecurity.
Amen.
So yes, what would you add to that, that you maybe thought about from yesterday that you would want us to understand about this sermon from yesterday?
Well, Saul was anointed to be king, and then he hid because, and I talked about those 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
But I think many of us are anointed by God, and most definitely all of us are called by God to do something in our lives to help other people, no matter what it is. It's not always, when we talk about an anointing to do something, people generally think of the church.
Mm-hmm.
What am I anointed to do within the church?
Okay.
But you can be anointed to be a good nurse,
wow,
a good caregiver.
Okay.
You can be
That's
anointed
good.
To sing. A lot of people mm-hmm. know, it's a difference between, singing and then really heartfelt anointed singing.
That's right.
Everybody is anointed to do something that God has called them to do. And we feel that anointing. We feel that nudge. We feel what it is that God wants us to do. But we hide and we refuse to do what it is that God is calling us to do.
That's good. I didn't hear that yesterday.
Nope.
I see somebody said in part two. Dr. Kweli said we're waiting on that part two. And you've already set the platform for that, because that's interesting that you said that, because a lot of times when people hear about calling and ministry, they automatically associate that with preaching and being in the pulpit and in front of people. But I hear clearly you saying that people are anointed, and even though they are believers, it's not necessarily something that will be expressed or exhibited in the church. Sometimes right. it'll flow over into their workplace, in their occupation that they might have. And they are anointed by God to serve people in a way that brings glory to his name. And I'm adding some things. That's what you're basically alluding to right
yes.
there.
Yes. And another thing is, a lot of times we won't be paid for the anointing
wow.
that God gives us.
Wow.
A lot of people want to be paid to do something. But many times your gift that God has given you, you won't be paid for it.
That's two
in monetary,
points. That's 2 points
in monetary, you'll be paid through blessings because your life will be blessed and enriched.
Okay.
But you won't necessarily be paid for it.
Okay. That's good. That's good, because it's almost hard to get people to do anything in the church in terms of volunteerism and to a place of commitment and dedication, unless you're paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it seems like that adds another layer of, I can do it, from their perspective, from what I've observed. But just people flowing in their giftedness and their anointing without being paid. You said God will bless and equip us in ways where what we do for him won't necessarily be a monetary blessing, but he will have blessings because of our obedience to him.
Absolutely. Okay. And sometimes it will be a monetary blessing that we're not really, dependent on. It might come out of the blue. So, our anointing that God puts upon us is for us to use it for God's glory.
Okay.
And not to extort people or to, get money for it.
Okay.
So a lot of things, even people's occupations, you know, sometimes your occupation won't pay you much, but you do a lot more work than what you're paid for.
When you have a calling on your life.
Uh-huh,
that's
yes.
good. And I see my good friend, Dr. John Tunstall, is on the call tonight. And he would probably agree with me. Bishop Benjamin would put it this way. We are blessed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. We are saved to do some saving. And we're loved by God so that we might love other people. Mm-hmm. And many times, as you said, it's not always in the arena that we want to see the evidence mm-hmm. of it in the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside the walls of the church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Q has a good point. She says, I know it's unpopular to think this, but we don't always need money. Sometimes we need peace and power and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? One thing I found, money can't buy good health.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know? It can buy good health care, but it can't buy good health.
That's good.
You know,
Reverend.
Once that
preaching,
body
Reverend.
Starts to decay, once things start to happen to your body, you mm-hmm. can pay to have the best doctors. You can pay to have the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, good health is one thing that we all need and should strive for.
That's right. And John puts it this way. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in good health,
mm-hmm.
even as your soul prospereth.
Yeah.
And so it really is a sad commentary for someone to have all of the riches and can't enjoy them because of their health or their failure to be able to enjoy what God has blessed them with. Because their body is deteriorating, other things are happening in their life.
Amen.
But John makes, in what is that, 2 John, I believe, he says, Beloved, above all things, I wish that thou would prosper
mm-hmm.
and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So we want to make sure that there is some kind of order
mm-hmm.
in terms of us understanding that our blessings come from God
mm-hmm.
and that God will keep our minds in perfect peace when it stayed on him
mm-hmm.
and gives us the ability to not only enjoy what he gives us, but to have health as well as good wealth.
Amen.
For
I
the
want
journey.
Both.
That's right.
Good health and good
That's
wealth.
Right. That's right. For the journey.
Yes.
So now they say 60 is the new 40,
mm-hmm.
but whatever they say and however it goes, I want to continue to be fluid in what God has given me for as long as he wants me to do what he wants me to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Sister Geraldine Orr said, health is wealth.
That's right. That's
it
right.
It is.
That's right.
I like that.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to add? Those points are there. We didn't lift them up, but it was clear in your conversation and in the sermon on yesterday, Saul was insecure about his identity. He was insecure and ashamed of his past. Saul was insecure because he was embarrassed about his present. And the last point, Saul was insecure and fearful about his future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That applies to us also, well, all of us in mm-hmm. terms of how we hide many times
mm-hmm.
our insecurities, even after God has called us,
mm-hmm.
even after God has given us assignment. We become afraid of what people say. We become intimidated by the new walk that God has placed on our lives. And sometimes we are ashamed of our past because, like you said yesterday, the devil can say nothing about, well, how did you say? The devil says a lot about our past.
He can remind us of our past, mm-hmm. but he does not have control over our future.
Right.
We have control over our own future.
That's right. That's right. And so all of these points were very valid and they were very key and a powerful reminder for us. You know, we have preached and taught about insecurities all summer, and that's still that would still be a theme for people to continue to investigate, even though the series is closed. That doesn't mean that we have overcome everything that we need to overcome.
Right.
Because some people are still in hiding,
mm-hmm.
and they're hiding behind their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That was really good.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, things I thought about after, you know, I preached, I thought about the hide and seek
mm-hmm.
game, you
mm-hmm.
know. that you run and hide and people count to 10. Mm-hmm. And then the counter comes and looks for people, mm-hmm. you know, to see if they can find them. But God shouldn't have to be the counter and look for us.
That's good.
To
That's
come
good.
Out of hiding.
I see it. I fell apart too. Hey, God. Thank you, Lord.
God shouldn't have to look for us. You know, we shouldn't even be hiding. God has called us all to, you know, to a ministry to make people's lives better.
Okay.
And so we should, because God has been so gracious to us, we should be willing to extend our gift and use our gifts for the glory of God.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we're going to jump in. That's a good part two setup, Lady Kim. I can go ahead and adjust this schedule now if you feel the need to go ahead. If it's burning, if it's burning on the inside, let me know now.
I'll let you know if it's burning. It'll but right
out.
Now, I don't It'll even feel.
Today.
I don't
right
even
now.
Feel flicker.
All right. Well, Dr. Q is going to be up this Sunday, and we know that she's going to have a word that's going to challenge and encourage us. And this month, all month long, we are really focusing in on love, and we're talking about the importance and the significance of us being mindful of our health. And like somebody said, health and wealth, and breast cancer awareness is at the forefront. And we will be dealing with all different forms of cancer during this month as well, with Luminary Walk and All Pink Sunday. And then we also will be dealing with Pastor's Appreciation Month. So there's a lot going on. And then I think there are some other tags that's attached to this month as well, with domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so all of that happens to fall in the month of October. But we praise God for his love toward us, and how God so loved us that he was willing to give his son to die, that we might have life, and not just any kind of life, but have life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And so when we're secure in God, it erases the things of our past, even though we want to hold on to them. And then it gives us the security that we need in order for us to go forth and be more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, let's jump into this lesson tonight. But before we do that, there are only 17 verses. We're in the second chapter of Song of Solomon, or Songs of Songs, and a couple of highlights we want to reiterate from last week, where we talked about how this final book of Solomon, also called Song of Songs, provides some practical guidelines for strengthening marriages and showing how godly love and marriage should be. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that you're going to see that's going to come out of there. And then we list about four things that really kind of helps give clarity to strengthening marriages and partnerships and relationships. One has to do with give your spouse the attention he or she needs, and take the time to truly know your spouse. That was one we talked about. And the second one had mm-hmm. to do with how we need to encourage and praise, not criticism, mm-hmm. Visible. Are vital to a successful relationship. Let me say that again. Encouragement and praise, not criticism, are vital to a successful relationship. And I think you made mention of that even in your sermon on Sunday, about how people, when they start speaking negative and pulling you down and talking, you know, the wrong way, then that's a clear indicator that they are really not for you. Mm-hmm. But they are trying to hold you back from experiencing everything that God has for you. And then we also mentioned on last week, these are just some tips and some handles for strengthening marriages. Enjoy each other, plan some getaways, be creative, even playful with each other, delight in God's gift of married love. And we know that everybody's not married, but even those who are considering marriage, even in this season, you have to be prayerful. You have to be wise. You have to be very discerning, mm-hmm. and you can't get caught up in the frills and the thrills, but you have to make sure that you get a sense of a person's spirit. You have mm-hmm. to try that spirit, the Bible says. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
By the spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I could not even imagine what some of the people might be going through nowadays as they try to connect and try to find someone that's compatible for them in this age that we live in.
And I think we got it mixed up. Well, we got misinformation along the way when people say that a relationship should be 50-50.
Okay.
You know, a relationship shouldn't be 50-50. It should be 100-100.
Okay.
That means each person giving 100%. Okay. You know, if I'm only giving 50%, then that leaves 50. That might be my positive 50%, and my other 50% might be negative.
Okay.
So, you know, a relationship has to be 100-100. There has to be all in or nothing.
All right. You cut your eyes at me kind of like, what you trying to tell me?
You must have a guilty conscience.
No, ma'am. I don't. I'm good. 150. 200.
Okay.
And then the last one was do whatever is necessary to reassure commitment to your spouse. That whole point deals with renewing of your vows, working through situations that you find yourself in. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect relationship. And so problems will come. And so if you're not fully rooted and grounded before the storm comes, it's going to be very awkward and difficult for you to maintain some sanity. So problems will come. And so do not enter marriage with divorce as a solution. Mm-hmm. And God intends for both husband and wife to live in a deeply peaceful, secure, that word is again,
secure
love. Mm-hmm. So anything else you wanted to add to those? Good to see Sister Valerie Rankin all the way from Pensacola on the call tonight.
I hope they didn't sustain any damage that way. I don't think the hurricane went that far.
I don't believe it did.
To the panhandle.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But you never know how those winds would affect those on their coastline.
Yes.
And so we praise God for her safety and her family. All right. Anything else you want to add before we jump into this second chapter, Lady Kim?
No, not that I can think of. She said, okay. I hope to see you Wednesday. So
okay.
She'll be in town for the revival.
That's
we'll talk
great.
About
That's
that at the end of the Bible study tonight.
We're going to be with Dr. Geraldine Rush in the House of Christ and as they kick off their revival on Wednesday. And Valerie is going to be present and in the house, and we look forward to seeing you there. And we hope that you have a safe travel if you are not here already. All right. Well, this second chapter, if we look at it, we're in the Song of Solomon. It really talks about the lovers' search for each other. And we closed out with, it's almost like a back and forth dialogue between the man and
man
the woman.
And, the woman. Mm-hmm.
And we see Solomon is being very expressive. And he's in getting ready to marry this, I believe she's a Shulamite.
Shulamite woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to make sure that he does everything necessary and at his disposal to do what needs to be done to firm up or to shore up his love for this woman, because keep in mind now, Solomon was the wisest man to live and had all of the riches and fame that he could ever even dream of. And he had at his disposal anything that he wanted, even women. But obviously he saw something in this Shulamite woman that really said, no, she's the one, this is what I need to do. And, this is who I need to settle down with. Similar to what you did when you saw me, but we won't talk about that right now. We'll move on. But that's basically what I see. That's my side of the story.
But you said Solomon said this was the woman.
I know, and I said you said.
Yeah.
I'm the man, and you.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Don't mess with me now. All right, let's get going. Don't start nothing, it won't be nothing.
Yep, you're right about that.
All right, so Song of Solomon chapter 2. Let's read, there are only 17 verses, Lady Kim. Let's maybe read the first 9.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and just lift up some comments from those verses and see what God is saying to us as a result of this second chapter.
Yes, and I found the New Living Translation really spoke to my heart. So we're beginning the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay.
I am the spring, Caracas, blooming on the Sharon Plain, the lily of the valley. Like a lily among thistles, my darling among young women. Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other young men.
Mm-hmm.
I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. He escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much he loves me. Strengthen me with his raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me.
Hmm.
Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I hear my lover coming. He is leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a swift gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he is behind the wall, looking through the window, peering into the room. That was to number 9.
Okay, all right. That's good. That's a different translation. That's a good interpretation of that particular chapter. And that's the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see here is a back and forth,
mm-hmm.
with the conversation that this Shunammite woman is having. And then it's almost like a call and a response,
right,
as Solomon begins to share his expression based upon what she's sharing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
The first verse is the young woman talking.
Okay.
When she says, I am the spring, Caracas, blooming on the Sharon Plain, the lily of the valley. She's speaking of... these are the words of the bridegroom, and he compares himself to the rose of lily, to the rose and a lily, which is symbolic of fragrance,
okay,
and beauty.
Okay.
And Sharon was a very beautiful place, you know, famous for its roses.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear that phrase often when these people talk about the rose of Sharon and mm-hmm. the lily
of the valley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that had to do with fragrance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. What about that second verse? I think you already mentioned some of what happens in that second verse.
Yes,
as well.
And then it switches to the perspective of the young man, and it says, as the lily among thorns, so my love is among the daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And so when compared to thorns or bushes, the lily unspeakably exceeds in glory and beauty. The daughters or the young damsels are symbols of simplicity, innocence, and gentleness, describing Solomon's love among the daughters.
Okay. So it's a dialogue back and forth, and there's a lot of analogy here and symbolism, as you are already breaking out and making us understand that. And so these are some powerful words that are being expressed as it relates to their love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there another verse there that really kind of stood out for you that you want to comment on, or do you want to just go through all of those and just give some highlights?
Well, you know, the sixth verse really stood out to me, where it said his hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. You know, that's, it symbolizes, you know, that he's as he supports her, how God holds us up and uplifts us.
Okay. That's good. And so when I read that verse, I didn't want to read too much into it earlier, when, as I read over the lesson for tonight. it says that his left hand is under my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could have been left-handed, but I don't want to get into all of that, you know. But we know that the right hand was the hand of power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And his left hand was in motion, as well as his right hand was a hand of embrace. And so, as you said, just as God holds us in his hands, so is this symbolic of how Solomon was expressing his love and his comfort and his embrace for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. What? You want me to get on the other side? You want me to move to the left?
Your right hand. Your right hand has to. Yes.
So,
yes.
But the right hand is the hand of embrace.
Uh-huh.
The left hand is the hand underneath.
Of comfort.
Of comfort.
Yes,
so
and support.
I would have to. That would be kind of awkward if I tried to do that from this side. I would have to move
over to the other side.
To the other side.
I
in
see
order
what
for
you're
that
saying.
To work. So that's why I was saying he probably. He may have been left-handed, but I didn't want to try to chase that rabbit hole or go down that rabbit hole and try to, you follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. All right. Miss Carolyn, good to see you tonight. And those others of you who are joining, somebody's laughing at my comments, but just trying to make it live and make it work for us. All right. Any other comments you see there, Lady Kim, that we need to lift up? Brother Darrell, good to see you tonight. And all of you who are on, I'm going to check the other side of our streaming and see if we have some other people available.
Okay.
And you lift up any other comments there.
Yes, and when we get to the seventh verse, it says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roses and by the hinds of the fields, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he pleases. And this is the same person, the bride is still speaking, or that young woman is still speaking. And she wants the females not to wake her love until her groom desired to wake.
Mm-hmm.
What
verse is that?
Verse 7.
Okay.
They are to let the pure love seek its own perfection, letting its own pleasure to be realized. Spiritually, they are to let grace complete what grace begins.
Okay.
So blessed are those who trust in him. That's Jeremiah 17 and 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have other people joining us on the other. This is the
streaming
side. And then I was going to go to
Facebook?
Website
okay.
as well. And I think those two connect, but they saw last week that they were two different platforms.
Well, you can see comments. The comments are, you can't see the comments on one platform.
Okay.
You have to go from one platform to the other to see the comments, but it's still tied together.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we have some people on the streaming side, and it's good to see each of you as well. And even those who are on the website side, we praise God for you connecting, and those who are viewing on the Facebook Live side. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Dr. Tunstall said, give us a demonstration.
Of what? What do you want me?
I guess we were talking about
the left, the
right hand and the supporting. Yes. Well, we passed that now, so we're
you
not
missed
going
that.
Back.
You were late getting your comment in. But it's an embrace, and Solomon was talking about a left arm under the neck, right?
I guess so,
yeah.
Yes.
That's verse number 6. You hadn't gotten that far. But see, I was saying with me being right-handed, my right hand is going to be under the neck, and so I have to move to the... I'll have to move to the other side in order for the left hand to support the neck and the right hand to embrace.
Right. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. But that was in verse number 6. What did it say? Read that verse again for us, Lady Kim.
His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
Okay. All right. All right. So in comparison and using an analogy, that's how God holds us in his hand. That's really where we were trying to. And I started moving off
off in left field.
Yeah, off in left field. Talking about was Solomon left-handed or was he right-handed? But that's basically what that's all about.
Yes, that God does support us.
That's right. That's right.
Would you like for me to go on to 10, verses 10?
Through 17?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're in the second chapter of Song of Solomon. And Lady Kim is going to read from 10 through 17. And then we'll come back and lift up a few finer points from those verses. And then, look, let me just remind you to go ahead and give us your prayer request that you might have, so that when the time does come for us to pray, we want to make sure that we include you in those requests. And so if there are any prayer requests, go ahead and mention those, put them in the comments as we are looking on both sides of the network, so that we can include those in our closing prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, starting with the 10th verse in the second chapter of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. My lover said to me, "Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one." Verse 14, and it switches again to focus the young man. "My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind the outcrop on the cliff. Let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. My lover is mine, and I am his. He browses among the lilies. Before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee, return to me, my love, like a gazelle or a young stag on a rugged mountain."
Okay. And so this is a back and forth between Solomon and this Shunammite woman. And you see that kind of taking place here as you begin to read. Solomon expresses himself. The woman shares her thoughts and expressions as it relates to what he said. And then she says how she feels as they go back and forth in terms of expressing their love for each other. Is that basically how you see it, Lady Kim? I know you're getting your prayer requests that are coming in.
Yes.
And he talks about the dove. And he also talks about, well, let's just look at some of these parallels in these verses here. In verse number 10, what do you see coming out of that as it relates to how we kind of break that down a little bit?
Okay, so the word spake means that the person appears, but not necessarily a voice is heard.
Okay.
The Shulamite may have recognized her beloved making a sign that she was near. Mm-hmm. When the soul responds, it was invited more and more. The voice of the groom is heard calling his love by name. And in Isaiah 43:1, it says, "I have called thee by name, thou art mine."
Okay. And so it's a back and forth, and it gives, I guess, more power to the words as they are expressive in their love for each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like faith without works. Love is an action word.
Yes.
Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
And it's one thing to say that you love somebody, but it also is even more powerful, I believe, when you express that love. It's a demonstration of it's almost similar to what we experience with Christ. It's an inward manifestation, and it should be an outward expression of how we feel.
Yes.
So we shouldn't keep it to ourselves.
Right.
You follow me?
Yes.
Okay. So just wanted to drop that seed. Any comments, other comments coming in?
No, not right now.
Okay. And so we're in the second chapter of Song of Solomon. For those of you who are yet joining us, Lady Kim just finished reading verses 10 through 17. And there are only 17 verses here in this second chapter. And we're not going to try to go into the third chapter tonight. We're going to hold that until next week. But is there anything else that kind of jumps out on these verses that you just read, Lady Kim, that you want to maybe just highlight or share some additional thought about?
Well, you know, we want to keep in mind again that there's a lot of symbolism here.
Mm-hmm.
The symbolism is that of a love affair.
Okay.
But it also symbolizes how much God loves us.
That's right.
And some of the symbolism here, like in the 11th
verse.
In the 11th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Really in the 12th verse, when it talks about the flower appearing on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle was heard in the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks about how beautiful it is when the flowers bloom and the time of birds singing. You know, God's creation, he created all of that as a love for us. The turtle dove was named here. The turtle dove is a bird which observes the time of its coming. And it always unfailingly appears in the spring. With its voice, it announces its presence in the now leafy woods where it cannot readily be seen. So you all, you can hear, or you can imagine, rather, the symbol of the turtle dove, where God's whispering voice, where you cannot see God, but you can hear his soft voice whispering to you. As the turtle dove, you don't see the turtle dove in the spring, but you can hear his voice in the distance.
Okay, that's good. What about that 15th verse? Because we've heard that before, and it talks about the foxes and the vines. And what do you see coming out of that verse 15?
It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes.
Okay.
The majority believe that this scripture captures the thought of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
She refers to the vineyard or the vines that have tender grapes, which she invites the groom into. The beautiful vineyards are beautiful with fragrant blooms. She, however, does not want the foxes or the little foxes to spoil the vine, which are tender grapes. She sees foxes, big and little, as great enemies who are spoilers of the vineyard.
Okay. And so we see that analogy being expressed in the New Testament as well, at the foxes. You know, beware the small foxes, I believe. Is that?
Little foxes.
Yeah, the little foxes, as they spoil the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And we might need to look that up. I think that's is that the way that verse goes?
That's the way I remember it.
Okay.
But I'll look it up. Somebody might be able to find it quicker than me. Let's see.
Well, let me see. Here's my phone. We're getting ready to close out, though. As Lady Kim is looking for that, really, as we close out this second chapter, there's a lot of analogy that's taken place here. And Solomon is being very expressive, as well as his bride-to-be, in terms of their expression of their love for each other. And as we indicated earlier, this really helps give us practical handles or practical guidelines, if you will, for strengthening marriages. And it shows us also how godly love and marriage should be. And so there's give and take. There is also a time of support and encouragement. And there's also a time where we have to reassure each other in terms of our commitment. And it's not just in words, but it's in action. And we have to make sure that there was an old saying, the same thing it took to keep you, get your baby hooked, is going to be the same thing it takes to keep her. Is that the way it goes?
That's, I think that's the way it goes.
Yep. So you have to show, try a little tenderness, and you have to continue to have those times where you creative, where you get out, and where it's not something that you have to plan 2-3 months in advance and do something spontaneously. And then you have to make sure that you are creative in what you're doing.
Amen.
What?
I didn't find little foxes.
You didn't? Okay. What did you find?
I didn't find it. That's why I was smiling.
Okay. Let me see.
I didn't find that verse. Well, the only one I see is, you know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But that's not the one we were referencing. We were talking about foxes.
Little foxes are destroyed the vine.
Yes.
It is. Little foxes spoiled the vine. Well, it seems like it's only showing up in
Song of Solomon.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I was looking for another one.
Yeah, I thought it was another one in the New Testament about that same comparison of the little foxes. But it might have been, I may have been thinking about the little ships when Jesus was out. And is anybody else saying something that's related?
Dr. Q said the Bible says little foxes are an example of the kinds of problems that can disturb or destroy a relationship.
Okay.
That's good. Yes. And that's what this is talking about here when she's talking about the foxes destroying the vine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it may be referred to little problems.
That's right. That's,
you know,
right.
Little foxes and big foxes. Don't right. let them destroy. Don't let it destroy the vine or the fruit of the vine.
And they related this as to little and big enemies who are spoilers of the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the whole point of reference that we're trying to gather from that particular verse. That's verse number 15 in the second chapter mm-hmm. of Song of Solomon. Mm-hmm. And so even as we prepare to close out tonight, if there are prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and submit those. We want to definitely pray with you and for you as we prepare to close. But what would we say as a kind of a takeaway from this second chapter that we can kind of just kind of put it in a nutshell, Lady Kim?
That this dialogue is between, you know, the Shulamite woman and her beloved. And that, you know, again, there's a lot of symbolism here.
Mm-hmm.
The banquet hall of love. You know, it talks about the embrace. There's a lot of poetic refrain. The woman answers. The man says something. The woman responds. So a lot of call and response here.
Okay.
And then the bride describes herself as the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And her bridegroom is described as a young gazelle or a small antelope or a young male deer.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of symbolism here.
Right, right, right. Okay. Well, this is pretty much what we can take away from this particular chapter tonight as we prepare to close out. And we're certainly grateful for each of you who are participating, and we hope that you are reading ahead. Next week we'll be in the third chapter as we continue to move through Song of Solomon and the Books of Wisdom. We're preparing to come to the close of that. I believe there are 12 chapters in this particular book, and we're going to, that's probably will take us all the way through the end of November and maybe around the 1st of December.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes. Is that in the middle of December?
Mm-hmm. That's another comment there.
Yes. If you don't handle the little foxes in a relationship, guess what they become? Big foxes.
That's
huge.
Good. That's
foxes.
Good. Yeah, that's real good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that. Who is that? Miss Carolyn?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Butler.
Oh, okay.
No. That's Carolyn Holmes.
Dr. Carolyn Holmes. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go ahead and you have some announcements, Lady Kim, that you want us to be aware of in terms of us getting ready for this weekend. Oh. I know Wednesday and whatever else you want to share.
Wednesday evening, we will be at House of Christ, mm-hmm. 70 Rasco Road in South Haven, Mississippi, worshiping in the Harvest Revival of House of Christ Church, pastored by Dr. Geraldine Rush. Mm-hmm. So we hope you can join us. The church bus will be going. So if you would like to ride the church bus, be at the church at 6 o'clock p.m. We will be leaving at 6 o'clock p.m. from the church on the church bus. But if you're driving, the address is 70 Rasco Road, South Haven, Mississippi, just over the state line, so not far away. And then on Thursday, don't forget our third module for the Institute for Leadership Training. For all of those leaders who are in the Institute for Leadership Training, this will be our last session for the third module on stewardship. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about how to steward your ministry well, to steward your ministry well.
So you're going to be talking about how to get things done.
How to get things done. Mm-hmm. That's right. There's mm-hmm. a process, believe it or not. We just don't show up on Sunday, or we just don't say we're going to have something and then show up on that day and start,
trying to pull it together.
There's a process for everything. So we will be talking about that important process.
Okay.
And then this coming weekend, we will have our regional assembly in mm-hmm. Nashville, Tennessee. And that it starts on Thursday. It's Thursday through Saturday.
Right.
But the major events will take place on Friday and Saturday. So we hope you can make it to Nashville, Tennessee for the regional assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the Tennessee region.
And look like I saw something where Dr. Crystal put out there's a virtual link for people who are going to view it that can't make it as well.
Okay, so you can view that virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so just log on to
Tennessee Disciples.
TennesseeDisciples.org, TNDisciples.org, and you can look for that link there on that page, and you can join in. That would be a great thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Any other prayer requests that we might have?
Yes, we do have some prayer requests, but I did neglect to say that the Harvest Revival starts at 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
Starts at 7 o'clock, but we will leave the church at 6 o'clock if you want to ride the bus.
Okay.
Now, our prayer requests that have been mentioned, Sister Loretta needs prayer for her mother. Her mother's going to have surgery. We also want to lift up the bereaved families of Sister Donna Smith and the loss of her father. That funeral was on this past Saturday. Sister Cynthia Otis lost her former husband. She said they were still good friends. And, anytime you have a relationship with someone, even if you're still not with that person, it's still a devastating thing to lose a person that you know and love. And then someone asked a prayer for, Sister Jessica asked prayer for Kelvin Lawrence King and the loss of his father. That's a friend of hers. So we want to lift up the King family in our prayers also.
Okay, okay. All right, well, you mind closing us out then with a word of prayer?
All right, let us go to God in prayer on tonight. Precious Jesus, we love you on tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you, God, are worthy to be praised. God, we lift up some events that are forthcoming. We lift up the Harvest Revival at House of Christ. We ask, oh God, that your power and your presence be felt in that place in a mighty way. We lift up our Tennessee regional assembly that's going to take place this weekend, God, and we ask that you would be ever present in the name of Jesus. We lift up Sister Loretta's Perkins' mother as she prepares for surgery. We ask, oh God, that you would prepare her heart and mind and give her the peace that surpasseth all understanding as she prepares to go through this surgery. And let the surgery, oh God, come out as intended. We pray for all of the bereaved, Sister Donna Smith in the loss of her father, Sister Cynthia Otis in the loss of their former husband, and Brother Kelvin King in the loss of their father. We ask that you would comfort them and keep them, oh God, as they go through this time of bereavement. And God, we lift up Sister Anita and her granddaughter, God, as she's getting ready to deliver a baby. We ask that you would comfort and keep her, and God, that you would just meet every need in their lives right now, and that she have a successful birth, God. And we thank you, God, for new life. We thank you for blessing their family with growth. And we ask, God, that you would bless that baby, that they will be dedicated back to you. We love you. We thank you. We bless you and we honor you, God. And God, we also pray for our pastor. We pray for our church. We pray for everything that you have set down for our hearts and hands to do. Continue to bless us and keep us and lead us and guide us as we go forth to do your perfect will. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Well, thank each of you for being a part of this time together. And we do praise God for his keeping power. And we hope that you will support us in our efforts this week and all month long as we lift up the name of our Lord and Savior. And we hope to see many of you on Wednesday night as we go down and share with our former executive pastor, Dr. Geraldine Rush, and her husband, Willie. He's the first
gentleman.
Yeah, so we look forward to the time we're going to have with them on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. All right, well, go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you. Until next time, be blessed.